you all, when it's on. You want to ask a question, me answer?
Yeah, I just have to make sure that it's recording right, and it looks pretty good right
now. You mind if I smoke?
It's fine. Okay, today's June 17th, 1988, and I'm talking with Jim Goddard at his roadside bait shop and peanut stand and tackle shop, I guess, also here in Jacksonville. And this is being done for the Florida Folklife Program as part of the Duval County Folk Arts and Education Project. Okay, first of all, I need your full name.
James W. Goddard.
Okay, and how is Goddard spelled?
G-O-D-D-A-R-D.
Okay, and we need your date of birth and your place of birth.
3rd, 1924, and born in Camargo, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
In 1924.
Okay. What part of Illinois is that?
That's the southern part of Illinois. Okay. I'll say about the southern part of Illinois, out of Champaign, Urbana, maybe about 50 miles below Champaign, Urbana.
Mm-hmm. Really fun. How long have you been down here in Florida?
41 years.
Okay.
A long time.
Yeah. What brought you down here?
After the war, my mother and daddy, was cold weather and they were ready to retire, and after I came out of service, I came down with them.
I see.
Yeah, I came here to Florida and got married here.
Hmm. So that's what made you stay here, I guess.
They got married here and raised my children and put my children through college here.
I see. Yeah. Okay. And we need your address also.
I'm at 138 West 26th Street.
What's the zip code of that part of town?
That's 32206.
Okay. Right. And we need your occupation, too.
Well, I was a supervisor over in a steel foundry, the Florida Machine Foundry. And I was there 39 years with the company until I retired. Mm-hmm. They closed down, and then we retired from there.
Mm-hmm. And you have your roadside stand, kind of...
I prepared this before I ever did. I've had this about 12 years now. I prepared it, but I know someday I need something to do to come in on the end. Have something to work with after I retired, so that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I might be messing up talking a little bit.
No, it's fine. You can take it anywhere you want. Okay, and also, you mentioned that you were married.
I'm married, yes.
Okay.
And have a daughter, and have a son, have a grandbaby. She's straight. She's straight. A honor roll student.
Great.
Sixth
grade. Oh, terrific.
This year, she come out straight A's.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, can you tell me about your roadside stand here? What types of things do you sell?
I sell peanuts, mostly peanuts, ice, drinks, and your lead and rigs and hooks. And you don't sell a little bit now and then, and it's up and down. You never know from one day to the next how business is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sometimes you have good days, sometimes bad days. And in the wintertime, it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly peanuts in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
I call.
Mm-hmm.
And in January, February, March, it's very slow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still out here, but it's slow.
Yeah.
And rainy days, now on Saturday, Sunday, rainy days, I'm just out. I just don't work hard. Mm-hmm. Rainy days, you're just out.
How many days a week are you open?
2 days off. Just Saturday and Sunday, and a holiday. Saturday and Sunday and a holiday is all. No other time.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just work then.
Mm-hmm. Are you mainly here in this location right off Extra Drive?
Yes, right here. I'm right straight in the same place all the time.
I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How did you get started with it?
A friend of mine out there on Extra Drive started making some lead sinkers, and I had a friend up here making a fish camp up here. We're running a fish camp, and he quit the fish camp, and had a boy making lead. I made a little lead with him, mm-hmm. and he says, he lived way out there in the Black Hammond. He said, I'll start catching shrimp if you want to sell them. I started out of a pickup truck out there on Hector Drive.
Oh, I see.
That back in about 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, about a year or so, I got pneumonia and got sick being out in the weather and all. So my buddy said, we go ahead and build you a trailer where you be in the dry. So mm-hmm. we went ahead and build a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Where we was in the dry. And then I set up out there for a while. Then I came down here. Talked to this man here. And I was sitting on the road. And a policeman coming out there and said, I know a place you can do. And he went down and introduced me to the man. And they said he already pulled up out here, so he pulled up out here, and I've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Got the okay from him,
mm-hmm.
and the cop told me he knew the people. So, mm-hmm. Really, that's where I got this place, through a little policeman.
I see. Mm-hmm. What's the address here? About what's the?
This is on Park, corner of Park Street and Hector Drive.
Okay.
Parker Street and Hector. Parker. You replay that back, and it ain't. Some of it's going to be a mix-up, really, on some of it. Can you straighten some of it out or not?
Yeah. What I'll do is I probably wouldn't use a tape to play on the radio or anything
like that.
I'll
okay.
just
write take the information
snippets.
And take it off
yeah.
the back there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been kind of interested in these sort of roadside stands because you see them a lot here, so I'd like to get an idea of what they're
talking about. I want to say, if you play that right back what we're talking about now, the kids are cool. They, probably some of it I'm messing up when talking about.
That's fine. Okay. You can take it anywhere you want. Yeah. The way I look at it is tape is cheap, and we've got plenty of time here. Yeah. I figure you can always get more information than you need. That's no problem.
I don't mind giving it to them.
Great. I appreciate your help with this. There's quite a few stands like this alongside the river.
They have They have these all over Florida. A lot of them, so you see different people selling. When shrimp are in the river, they're not now. Shrimp are in the river, you see little stand selling eating shrimp. Most of you go from here to White Springs, if you see them on the road on the highway or going to Orange Park, when they can catch them in the river, they usually see stand there where they're selling eating shrimp and all young. They do very much. I don't sell much eating shrimp. Most of mine are just bait shrimp and all. And every what I can make, I didn't give me a little spend of money through the week. I couldn't make a living off of it, and I couldn't buy groceries, pay bills with it. But I mean, it gives me gas money if I want to fish a little bit, cigarette money like that. But as far as making a living, no, there's no way. I could run it 7 days a week, but I'm up in age where I can't. These 12 hours a day, 2 days, that's enough for me. It takes me about 2 days to get over there after being here. I do 2 days. I just work 2 days and all. And may a holiday, I may come in then. If the weather's pretty, then that's the only time for it. No, I enjoy it, but I get a deal with the public. Talk to a lot of different people. And we always got a lot of. I'm always mouthy, always usually anyway. Anyway, I try to find all the information about fishing and pass it on to people. We pass it on here. And then at nights, I go to a place and we all meet together up there, guys, fish, and we have fish stories and tell where to catch them at and what bait they're using, all like that. We pass all that on to each other.
I see.
Find out what's really going on. And if I find where to catch them, when I'm off on a good day some fish through the week, I know right where to go to.
I see.
It's very good information,
So you hear about that from the fishermen coming through by?
Right. They come by, and we take pictures of them, and I'll get them developed and give them one and put one on the wall and show them. And we pass information on each other all the time. And some people come in and catch a bunch. They won't tell you where to get them. They won't give you that information. Some people will, some won't. Some will give it to you.
So it started out with just doing tackle first, and then you went into doing the boiled peanuts and things like that?
Yeah, I ducked when I came here, I started boiled peanuts, came in here. I started with peanuts here. And they're a great seller at times. Sometimes they're not, sometimes they are. Usually in the fall, peanuts are better during the winter months than they are the hot summertime. But mostly right now, you take all the kids out of school. They're all on vacation. They're not around. And usually when they visit the zoo, they'll stop and get peanuts here. They can't not allowed to feed the animals, but they come here and get peanuts to eat. Or going out, like they go on the beach or fishing. I do sell some. But like today, I haven't sold a bag, first bag yet. Now, some days you have good, some days you don't. But your green peanut now is coming in right now. But the reason I'm not in the green peanut is because they're what we call a pop. They haven't got no, when you boil them, they just go flat and there's nothing in them. And I just don't like to try to sell them to the public. And when you ain't got nothing in them, it makes them aggravated. So I just wait till they get full. Enough filled up, then I'll start with them.
What's the season for the green peanuts?
They're coming in right now. They're starting to come in right now. About 1st of June until last December. And then it's all over with. It usually lasts up to about December.
We have a customer here, so I'll put this on pause. Back after about a 5-10 minute sales there.
You're right.
As you were talking about the season for the green peanuts, you said
you run from June till until about the last of Christmas time, or start real cold, get real cold, and it's all over with. But then where I get my peanuts from, the green peanuts, I get them from the farmer's market over at Purchase. Or I can go out with my sister, drive about 100 miles and get them out of the field, either way. But you break out just about even if you just go over and buy them at the farmer's market. The time you go buy them, pay gas, go and come back. Then when I come home and am, I take them and put them right in the pressure cooker. It's about a 20 gallon, I'm guessing it's about a 20 gallon maybe. No, it ain't no 20 gallon. I put about 15 pounds of peanuts in a pressure cooker. One box of salt. Dump it in. That's on the green bowl. And I cook it till it comes up to gauge on it to about 20 pounds. Well, then I just cut it off and let it sit in there and soak. All right, then when I get it out of the pressure cooker, I take it and dump it back into a pot. Let them soak again for maybe an hour. Then dump the water out and they're ready to go.
I see.
They are very good on it. And a dry boil. I'll go in the dry boil in a minute. Yes, can I help you? All right.
Okay, we're talking about the green peanuts. You were saying that you wish you could get them year-round because they're...
Because they're better at peanut and they're a lot easier to fix. They're very much easier to fix. Not much to them. Now, on your dry peanut, make a ball like you see in them. I'd get them by 50 pounds. You put them in a... Usually takes about two and a half days. Put them in a barrel and just let them soak in water. Soak all about two and a half days. You don't want to let them soak too long. Now it'll ferment and the water will drain into the nut, and then the peanut won't be no good. Uh-huh. So you've got to be pretty well on the ball. Watch them. Take the nut, check them. And as soon as it looks like they're going to start fermenting, they get nuts. You won't get that water off. Then you take them and fill them in a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. Put them in. I put in about 15 pounds. It's about 15 pound pressure cooker. And fill it full of water. I use a complete box of salt in that. All right, I'll bring that up to 20 pounds pressure. It takes about an hour to bring it up to it. And then when it brings up, I cut it off, and it takes about an hour for it to go back. I let it go back down. Then I'll take it out and dump it in another pot. I'll let them soak for about 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours in the other pot. Or providing to get that water, because it's very hard to get the water in that nut and get it softened on. Mm-hmm. And I'll let them soak for about 4 hours. And after that, then you pretty well drain the water off and they're ready to go.
I see.
Yeah. But it's a long process, really. It is.
Just checking with the headset to make sure things are coming out okay. Yeah, it's coming out.
Yeah,
fine.
They're pretty bad. And then you got to keep take this either green nut or the other nut. You got to keep them on ice all the time. They have to get cold, keep them warm water all day. But in order to hold them over, you've got to keep them in a cool place. Otherwise, they'll sour on you.
I see.
So like you see a big cooler I got in there.
Yeah.
You have to put them in a cool. You have to keep them in a cool overnight. Hey, big buddy.
Good looking bait today, my man.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, it's great. Come here. No froze. No froze. I'd like to get you to be on. Let's go. There's not a whole lot of profit baiting on that either, really. Mm-hmm. You take on any of these items out here, there's not a whole big bunch of profit really made in it. Mm-hmm. Actually, it takes a lot of money to work with, but then when you get back home, sit down, figure it out, there ain't a lot of that profit out there. People really think it is, they really eat it.
Yeah. How about the roasted peanuts? How are those done?
I put them in a pan, like you see in an onion pan. And we cook them on 350 for about 2.5 hours. What do you do? Every hour, you go in there and roll them over, put them in a pan, take your hand and roll them over. Mm-hmm. You have to stay right there with them. You got to stay there all the time you're cooking them. You got maybe a half hour away from them.
Oh.
But it's a turnover. Like I say, go in there and turn them all over every half hour. If you don't, you're going to burn them. It takes about anywhere, in the wintertime, it takes about 3 hours. In the summertime, about 2.5 hours. Because it's colder again in the wintertime than in the summer.
Pick up the trucks going past
there. Right. It takes about 3 hours on your roast peanuts, really.
But
you got to turn them over every half hour.
Yeah.
And they're pretty well done and ready to go.
Yeah.
That's the easiest part of all of it. But just like I say, it takes some time. You got to stay with them. You can't just let them sit there and they'll burn.
Mm. You were telling me with your trailer that you used to actually cook them inside there, but now you're kind of just using it to heat things up.
Yeah, all right, just heat it up. Now on the bowl, I do them at home and bring them on out here. I do them Friday, I usually do them Friday afternoon, and put them in a cooler, and then I heat them up here the next day when I come on here. Yeah, I do them on Friday. It's in a big old round. I run a big old pressure cooker. You know, yeah.
How many pounds of peanuts do you cook on a Friday?
I only cook about maybe 30 pounds, about two pots at a time of year. Maybe a pot for today and a pot for tomorrow. Like I say, the time of year, they're very slow sellers. They're not a big item really right now. Later in the fall, early in spring, and late in the fall it is, but during the summer month, no. No, it's very slow.
How about in late fall? How many would you expect to serve?
In the fall, I might. It's up and down, just according to how the weather, you know. I might maybe sell up 40 pounds, maybe over a weekend, something like that. 40, yeah. 50 pounds, something like that. And but you can never, you never know, you never go to the public. You just don't know. You go prepare too many of them, you're going to eat them. And sometimes I don't fix enough. So you can never figure out here. It's up and down. It's up and down situation. And again, I've seen some good years, and I've seen a lot of bad years. So you just never know being out here.
Yeah.
You just know what you know.
What types of peanuts are the biggest sellers?
Ball peanuts. Yeah. It's 90 to 100 out of ball over roast, yes. Yeah. And they sell their own self. At times, I may run out of peanuts today night, and I may have cooked some tonight for tomorrow. You don't know. Mm-hmm. That's no one way you know how people, when they're going to stop or where they're going to use that. You know, like grocery store, you don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
So the only seasoning that you use in it is just salt, then?
Sir?
The only seasoning that you use in the peanuts is just salt?
Salt, right. Only salt. Big box of salt in the fresh cook about that big round, about that high. One box of salt. But, yeah.
Oh.
And then cook it out, then pour it off.
I see.
They come out just about right. I made it. I tried it more or less, more like there, but box is just about right.
I've heard some people use some other types of seasoning in the peanuts.
Oh, I've heard of meat fixing a lot of different ways. But I stick with salt more than everybody recommends salt, and I never experiment. I've tried to do them other way, but there is other ways to do, but I never have did them.
Do you know what some of the different types of seasonings they use besides salt?
I can't think of the name of it now. I know that their preparation they buy and can put into it. It's kind of a. Get the salt and then sugar with it, something like that there, like a syrup with it, but I can get the name of it, they say it's brand. I've never tried it, but I have heard of it doing it, yes. Mm. And they asked me if I've ever tried it. And then I've heard of, I can't think of the name of it. I remember the boy come by talking to me about it. Asked me to try it. There's another way there's a nut pea fix. Somebody said he tried. They cooked it up some way. I don't know how they cooked it, but anyway, I know there's different ways to stop it, but only way I've ever did it is just the way I do it right out here. I've never did it, but I have heard of them. I'm trying to think. I don't really know. I talked to one guy, and I said, no, I never fixed them that way, but I do know they fix them a different way. I have never.
Okay.
How you doing?
Okay.
Man, come up here and stop. And he told me what was seasoning. He said it's somewhere he bought it in a stand. And it was good. It really tastes good. But I forget.
Yeah.
I even forget what he told me what it was. But it is a different way they fix it. And the man bragged on him good, too. But I forget what he put in. He put it in with something with salt. But what it is, I don't know.
There's a Cajun seasoning or something for him, I've heard. Something makes them real hot and spicy.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know nothing.
How'd you get started with the peanuts yourself?
There used to be a man named Mr. Brown, over here. He died here about 5 years ago. And they used to allow the animal, you know, to feed peanuts to animals. They stopped it. And the kids worked, well, he had about four or five stands up here, on here and down there. He had stands all over here. And after he died, they just discontinued it. And the kids come up here one day and want me to get try to fix the peanuts. I told them I didn't. The boy said, I know how to cook them. So I said, all right. So he showed me how to cook them and how to start preparing them. And how he did it, and all I did, I've been doing it ever since. Just through the kids that worked for him after the man died. But like I said, then about time, we didn't really get in that doing good with peanuts, then they stopped feeding the animals. They're not allowed to take no peanuts in the animals, feed them or nothing. So you just out here on the street, really.
Yeah.
So you don't sell many, but you sell some. But it helps along with the other stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of it helps out. Yeah. But now, like I say, I don't set the world on fire with it. Oh, but it's something that with now that ice, I get that I have one it right here, but there's no money made. The time I buy it and go get it and put it in a trailer and add it and put it all and bring it out here and all, it's something just to help them out, really. But,
Yes, Bart, you said.
I say something to help the people out there and go to the store, but Bart making any money, no money made any ice, really.
I see. I was interested in the different lead weights that you make, and you said that you cast.
I make all of them, every one of them.
How do you go about doing that?
That is got a little pot, plumbing pot. You've probably seen a plumbing pot. You have a little pot, you take the lead and put it in there, and then heat it by gas. Then you take a dipper and pour it out, and it runs it like water. Pour it in the individual boxes, hold, and it comes out formation like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh, that's the mold of itself, really.
Yeah.
You got little brass pins and a lot of them, all different type of things, yeah. Oh, it's a system all of itself. I used to do that a long time ago. I used to have boys going to college to work for me and make that there. That boy went into this here. I used to manufacture lead sinkers. Well, I mean, in a small way, not just did it in a garage. But I used to sell them over a lot of base camps and all like that. You did it. And I just kept the boxes and make a few. You don't sell many. You sell some. You don't sell a whole bunch. Even like the rig, you don't sell a whole bunch. You sell some, but not a bunch.
So you make up the rigs too?
Yeah, I make them up, I guess. Yeah. But you don't sell a whole bunch of them. Sell a few, but some.
How many different types of lead sinkers do you make?
I'd say about 50 different types.
Oh, yeah? Where do you get the lead for that?
Most people come in here, and they give it to me, or either I swap it off, sometimes shrimp for some of it, like it there. Mm. They are pretty cheap. Mm. And more than I sell made, the guys, most of the people, like a guy come up in that red car, I think he was sitting here when I talked to him. He said he run into a lot of lead. He said that next time he get it, he bring me some of it.
This is kind of scrap.
He works in that type. What type of job he works in, he said he run into lead, so I don't know what he does, but he just said that he gets scrap. But he had a bunch lately. Uh-huh. If he knew it, he'd have brought it to me. So I get it that way. And no one a lot of them.
Is it all made from scrap lead mainly?
Yeah.
I see.
It's all scrap lead, yeah.
How long does it take to like make a sinker like that?
Oh, not very long. Just a few seconds. Take a dip in it for it. Just like real quick. Yeah. You make them real quick.
So it sets pretty quick?
Oh, yeah. It sets up real quick, too. Yeah. Huh. It sets up. So you put different. There are different ways you make them. Brass eyes. Some of the swivel. Some of the bigger, heavier. But you don't sell them. It's slow making. Some with holes in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got about a dozen different types of rigs up there, too.
Yeah, about a dozen, something like that there. I just make up some of them, put them up there on them. And some of them sell fairly good, and some of them don't.
Uh-huh.
It's slow.
What are the different rigs used for? Because a lot of them look really...
One different. Rig will work just as good as all the rest of them. If you're in heavy, deep water out there, it takes a heavy lid, and you get caught up on the rocks, them heavy ones, you get hung on the rocks, a lot of times you pull yourself out. You got a real light rig, and them rocks will cut it off. Real light rigs. A lot of time you get hung in rocks and you got a light line, it'll break off right if you put in there. If you got a heavy line and heavy rigs, a lot of time you'll get them back.
Mm.
Not always, but you will sometimes.
Mm.
But there are a lot of rocks in the river.
Mm. You got that set up for most of them where the weight's down lower than the snap swivel? Or, no, a couple of them are that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have the swivel being below the
right.
weight too.
Yeah. Well, the hook goes on that end, I just got it hung up that way, swivel down that way, turned over the other way, and the line ties off that end there.
Oh, I see.
I just tie them, and I make them myself, just tie them up. Yeah.
I see.
Uh-huh. They use them in the river around the jetties out there and all, yeah, for heavy fishing.
Yeah. What pound test is that line that you've got this
set up on? That's about 150 pound test.
Wow. So what kind of fish would they catch on something like that?
Mostly drum, red bass, something like that there. That they get drum, red bass, and any other big fish that bite on bottom. Mm. Sometimes they catch a lot of big old stingarees, sometimes different like stuff like that. Big drummer in March and April. They run anywhere drum. I got a picture of it. They run anywhere 50 to 100 pounds.
That big?
Yeah. They come in here to row and they weigh big.
So that's why you need the 100 pound test on
them? Yeah, the year before that, I caught three of them. They average out right there at jetties. They average from anywhere from 70 pounds to 90 pounds. I got three. I got pictures up there of them.
What pound test do you most people use on the lines like that?
For drum fishing, I use about a 60-pound test. Or up about 60 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that'll hold it about anything. If you got enough line on that, it'll hold any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want a heavier than that. Okay. But on average, I use about a 20-pound, 30-pound test, lighter reel, you know, what we catch lighter fish. Mm-hmm. I don't use too much heavier line.
Is that mostly for saltwater fishing? Or is that...
Yes, all for saltwater.
I
now, when I was young, I used to do a lot of king mackerel fishing. I turned the boat around. I still got a lot of my lead on my reel, and I got a lot of them inside. I used king mackerel, but I don't go outside anymore and do none of that fishing. I just started selling them and getting rid of them.
Yeah.
And then go offshore, you go offshore, you need all heavy rigs out there, bottom fishing.
How deep do they fish when they get out offshore?
Offshore, you can run anywhere from 50 to 200 foot. Within 20 to 30 miles out, you can run in 200 foot.
Awesome.
Long ways to go down, long ways to wind up, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of shark fishing, I've caught a lot of shark. I got a rig right there. I have been on Nassau Sound, caught him about 200 pound off of it. But I was younger, though, like you. I was young. Now, today, I don't do that anymore. I do a little fishing, but not no heavy fishing. Takes too much energy. takes too much energy.
So the main thing that you saw then as a shrimp is as big as
that's the most thing. It is more than anything. Yes.
Yeah. How do you go about getting the shrimp?
Dan, my boy, drag you in the river, and it's not no one person. You just get them everybody because one guy may catch him one time, another guy catch him next time, or either they bring him to me here on Saturday morning or something like that. And sometimes maybe a guy might have lucky for 2 or 3 weeks, he might catch them, I can get it from him. But they come from all sources. There's no one real source, really.
So it's just local fishermen supply to you there?
Yeah. Because one guy, he may catch them this week, he may not hit it, or broken bow, or broken net, so it just come from all sources.
Yeah.
You just can't depend on no one person.
I see.
You know? I wish you could, but that's the way it works. Uh-huh. Because they may, boy dragging up the river may catch them, or the boy dragging down here, he may not catch them. So it's just, they're hard to get all. They're always hard to get all. I mean, year round. They just don't come easy.
We'll take a little break for your other customer here.
It got a little busier than I thought it would be.
That's pretty good.
It's better than I thought it would be. Expected, really.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about the shrimp that you sell as bait there. How many pounds would you go through, say, in 2 days?
I start off with about 60 pounds this morning, and I say I got 30 left right now, maybe between 25. I've sold maybe between 25 and 30 pounds.
That's a pretty good day.
That's a pretty good day, yeah. Some days you don't sell many, maybe 10 pounds. Some days you may sell more than me. Like, just up and down. And I might end up selling the rest of them today. Discarding how people come. Like in there, I've never been there before to stop by here. So I'm discarding how people on vacation stop by.
Yeah. You were telling me you get a lot of customers just kind of from word of mouth.
That's the only way I get them, word of mouth.
So it was pretty slow when you first opened up your business like 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah, goodness.
Yeah.
I buy shrimp and throw them away.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't buy many, though. I bought a few, you know.
Yeah.
No, shrimp is a good deal, but like I say, they only buy a pound, half pound. Some will buy 2 pounds, 3 pounds, but it's just up and down. You just don't know.
Yeah.
I figured what I bought I had there, I got enough, would last me 2 days. But I still, that's about full now, so it's, I got a long way to go yet. So I might maybe sell 50 pounds. I might sell all of them today. And if I do, I don't have none more. So I don't really care either way, no matter.
I'm wondering where the favorite fishing spots are around here.
There's a fishing spot everywhere you go within. 50-mile diameter circle, you got fishing spots.
Yeah.
There's about 10 or 15 bridges out going here to Fernandina. You ever been here to Fernandina?
I've been up towards that area.
All them bridges going out, yeah. They got so many, and they're little outlets, inlets, and we got the river. Just about anywhere you go, like you go out that way, you get in Nassau, you go south here, you got the Santa River all the way down. So it's just a big fishing area.
So most of the sport people do their fishing from bridges and
from bridges and from the beaches and from shores and little inlets. They just fish everywhere. A lot of people got their own docks and they're out of boats. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Not only it's everywhere. Yeah. They go fishing. Not only they go fishing, they go crabbing a lot. They catch a lot of crabs, oysters, clams. It's not all of them. A lot of them use live bait. They don't use dead shrimp. A lot of times, there's a lot of different type of fishing you do. They don't even care dead shrimp. A lot of them, just like them boy there now. But at them, they buy live bait. They don't use no dead bait on bottom. There's a lot of different types of fishing, different way trolling, and using them. And all the king mackerel tournaments on now out there in the ocean, they use all kinds of bait out there. Sort of bait, and all different kinds. Nothing what I got, they use out there. I'm not even equipped for any type of fishing they want to do offshore work for big folks. I don't have none of that.
Oh, I see.
I don't have nothing. But I'm too far away from the ocean.
Yeah.
And most boats put in out there around the fish camp, they buy it all right out there.
What do they use on the big boats for bait?
They use mostly squid, cut fish, mostly that's what they use. Now, if a king mackerel fishing, they use live, all little live fish. Or either they use big plugs, or either they take the nets and catch their own live bait out there.
Nice.
They catch all their live fish out there and use the bait out there.
What hits on the dead shrimp?
Dead shrimp, mostly on bottom. They just catch croakers, drum, whiting, spots, red bass. Which red bass is off limit now. You catch them, you got to put them back. Just general all pan fish, mostly is what's called shrimp on bottom. Yeah. Now your trout, all your trout are caught off live shrimp. So there's different types of fish and different types of bait rigs. Mostly what I most dive for people fishing are for pan fish. Sometimes I catch a big one now and then, and most of the dead shrimp is on bottom for pan fish. You know? That's what most of the fishermen really got to do anyway, bottom fish.
I heard that St. John's is a pretty good area for bass fishing.
It is very good. Yeah. It is very good for bass fishing. For black bass and for red bass too. It is very, very good. The red bass is kind of getting scared, but they put it off limits right now. Guys can't catch them. I take pictures a lot of them used to catch them, but no more they got off limits until they're allowed to catch them again. Then they open the band on them and they can go ahead back to it. Up the St. John River, St. John River, how far you go, it flows north, and it flows right all the way through to the Gulf, and there's all kind of, every type of freshwater fish you can think of, they got in St. John, and then the saltwater fish, right close to where we are, the ocean, we got all the saltwater fish, too. Every type of species that you can think of, they do that.
Where's the line in the St. John's that it turns from saltwater to freshwater?
Well, they claim the main street bridges here in town, with the railroad out here, right here, the one you got here on the railroad bridge, and the one downtown, that's like the salt brackish. You got to have license on the other side of it. On this side, you don't have to have license.
I see.
So if that's what they say, that's where they're based.
So the fishing in saltwater, you don't need a license at all, but when you're freshwater, you need a license. Mm-hmm.
But then saltwater fish go from here to far. Saltwater fish go up there beyond that, all the way up to Stanford. Well, I understand saltwater fish go that far up.
How far up to Stanford?
I don't know. I imagine 100 miles from here, I imagine.
Yeah. Boy, I thought that would kill them when they get into the
freshwater. They do bracket, but they still seem like they stand a certain time. Salt water goes so much, there ain't no fresh water. I guess salt water feeds up into there. Yeah. But between here and to Palatka, there's all kinds of, there's plenty of between here and Palatka. Mm-hmm. Salt water feed. But they say you got to have fresh water fish line, so you may catch fresh water. Mm-hmm. And they catch a lot of salt water. Mm-hmm. I went down to Wiolaka 3 weeks ago. We didn't have fresh water fish. And we caught a little saltwater fish, a little croaker, about that long.
I think it's 4 or 5 inches long there?
Yeah. Caught a little croaker. And they're that far down. We like it. That's way down. That's 100 miles from here.
Huh.
Yeah. Down the river. Huh. And there are blue crabs down there. Plenty of blue crabs. So that shows you saltwater fish feed way back.
Yeah.
There's plenty of fish. Well, I guess that's one of the greatest sports they got here is that fish.
It's real popular.
Yeah. Very popular.
I was interested in the trout that are in the trout river along here.
Yeah.
Do people ever go fly fishing for that, or is that something that's just not part of Florida?
What is that now?
Going fly fishing?
Oh, fly fishing, yeah. In St. John, they do a lot of fly fishing. Well, way up, not here, but up to St. John, they do, yes, they do a lot of fly fishing.
What are they, mainly trout on the flies?
They catch a lot of black bass. Yeah, they strictly for black bass. They catch these bream, they catch bluegill, they call these specks and all. They catch them too. Yeah, they do a lot of fly fishing. Some people do. Mm. There's every type of fisherman he is. They do all different types of fishing. Yeah. Every guy got a different. A lot of guys here, they go sheephead fishing here. They use the fiddler, little fiddler, like crab. That's all they do, sheephead. They don't do another type of fishing. And that takes a different type of bait. Mm-hmm. Every type seems like they got so many baits for different type of fishing. Of course, what type of fishing you'll do. Mm-hmm. And I don't handle all the baits. No.
Yeah, you just.
I couldn't get rich, and I couldn't handle all that. I could sell fish, crabs out of that cooler in there. Fiddler, I could sell a lot more bait than I do, but I just don't.
It's just
my age and all that. Just too much trouble, too much bother and all. And if I didn't make enough spending money to me go fish and buy gas, cigarettes, I'm happy.
That sounds good.
No, I could put a lot more stuff on here and really go out for it. I could work 7 days a week if I wanted to. Now I could work with good business up, but I'm too old for that. Mm-hmm. No, I'm too old.
Your customers seem pretty impressed with the selection of things that you do
have
here.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. And I could work 7 days a week here, 12 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week, and put a lot more stuff on here and sell every bit of it. I could sell fish off of here. I could sell crabs, bait, eating shrimp. I eat shrimp. That'd be good market to put in. I get plenty of big shrimp. I get some food. Like I say, I'm not here trying to get rich, make money. I'm just out here to enjoy it and just to make me a little spending money on the side. If I get, a few dollars, that's good enough for me.
You also do photographs of people after they've got their catch, right?
Oh, yes, they got. And we give them one and then put one on the wall, yeah. I do a lot of that now when they catch the fish. I do a lot of it.
What type of camera do you use for that?
I just got a little old tiny C-127. All right, Stan, they put them on the roll. Well, you take a pick and save. They give me two for each one. I take 12. I think there's 12 pictures on it. Yeah. And everyone I fill up, I go and get it developed. Come back and they stop back by. I give them one and they keep them. It's very cheap. Very cheap roll. And if they wait. And when I get them developed, they come out and give one to them. I got some more to put up now.
Sounds like fun.
And I got about 8 or 10 taken on the road in there now. And I got to take maybe 4 or 5 more pictures, then I'll get put them in and get them going.
What's the biggest fish that you've seen somebody bring one through here?
About 100 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of them cobia run. That they catch offshore, catch anywhere from 30, 40 pounds up to 100 pounds. And a lot of drum weigh in a range of 50 to 75 pounds. A lot of them. And that smaller drum and a red bass, I take a lot of red bass, run 5 to 20 pounds. They used to come through here. They still red bass out, but they don't let them catch them.
Yeah.
And drum run anywhere from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Huh. Yeah. Well, they catch some nice fish on these, but most all boats. Mm-hmm. Come in with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you know of anybody in the area who does any fly tying at all?
Any what?
Fly tying?
Flight tying?
Fly tying?
Or slack tying?
No, I'm sorry. Fly tying, making the fishing flies for fly fishermen.
Not all. I know one, but he's down by Wheelock. Like. Nothing right here locally. No, nothing make fly. No. I know a jobber here in town. He can bring me by fish hooks and all like that. But he did buy them, resell it all. He does fly me. But,
how about making bass lures or anything like that?
Bass lures, no, mostly all of them are manufactured, and I don't buy none of them.
Yeah.
No, that's all freshwater.
Yeah.
And, most of that comes out of Wheelock and out of Miami. Jobbers coming through all the time. They can stop here, but I just don't know. I don't, but I'm just ready to fish in saltwater. I don't want to fool with it. I ain't got the room ready for all of it. I just try to carry what people need locally right here, and that's the only thing I carry. Nothing else. Well, now, these fish camps, you can get all that down there at these fish camps right on Main Street here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that fish camp carry all of it. They carry everything. Every type of bait, trace and salt water, yeah, they carry it all. But I just don't do it.
They might even know some people actually make lures on their own, too, in town. I'd run into a guy up in them.
No, I don't. They've probably got guys here that makes them, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably is one that make them, but I just don't know.
I'd run into a couple people in Illinois and Kentucky who own turn out the basslers on legs and things like that.
Yeah. Make floats and all like that, yes. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know none of them. Which no doubt they're here, but I just don't know them. But I just never fool with it. Never fool with it. I have people come by and want me to sell watermelon, vegetables, and all that. I just keep them in. I can sell watermelon, do good here, but I just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm too old to start to try to. Now, if I was going to make a living out of that, I would redo it all different. I'm going to work 7 days a week and long hour. But me and my wife, I make enough money for me and her to go out and eat 2 or 3 times a week. Me and her to get together and go out and eat supper. Or maybe go out a little piddle through the week and all. That's all I know out of life. I'm not looking for a whole lot.
That seems like kind of fun to get the chance to find out where the
It is. And I get out and we and her go fishing a little bit. And we just get out and ride around and stay local. We don't go all far. And we just enjoy ourselves. We just take it as it comes, and we really relax and really enjoy it. We take day by day, time to time. And I work a little bit around the house there, keep the yard up and all that. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
When it gets hot around 11, 12 o'clock, I go in late in the evening. I go in the house, stay in the house for late in the evening. It's just coming out hot weather. I used to do it all, believe me. I used to fish from here to Key West, over the Gulf. Yeah, I fished all over Florida. And I've caught fish up to 500-600 pounds. Do fish. I got pictures at home of big fish we've caught. My wife kept an album over a period of, when I was your age, when I was about 22, 23, I started fishing and I never stopped.
Uh-huh.
I've never caught many fish offshore. But inshore, I did my share of it. Go down Key West a couple weeks at a time. On vacation and all, I'd be working. Get off, go down there and fish. I don't do none of that anymore. Old. Get up in age.
And just get out once in a while then?
I did fish once in a while now and then. And I'll probably wait till this fall before I start back fishing a little bit. I'll go some. But not a whole lot anymore. If I catch just enough for me and her a mess, good fish when we want them, or I go catch a mess of crabs when we want them, something like that there. But I get in a big bunch, no, I don't do it. No, just enough might just get five or six. This number is a mess. Good fresh fish on it. Like, same way crabs or what we want. Or half shrimp. Sometimes when I come home with shrimp, she'll pick out the big ones and fix us up fried shrimp or boiled shrimp, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a solid something like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as making a big, I don't think it's good. But it could be worked into something nice, really. But I didn't want to. Main thing, the first thing is getting established, though. When you can get established, it's good.
Do the other roadside people do pretty well?
I don't really know. I guess they do. I don't really know. Most of all the roadside people I know, and anyway, most of them just sell peanuts. Peanuts and fruit stand up. But far as anybody, I don't know nobody set up like I am. I don't know no one set up like I am. I did this here. Me and a boy lived on Hector Drive. I had all free labor. He laid off 6 months, and we had free labor, and I was, if I had supplied the material, I got no labor or nothing in it, just many a time, so we built it. All I had to do was just supply the stuff. But I don't know no one else does it. They may be other people, but I don't know them. But I do know there are a lot of people have little trailer trucks, sells crabs, shrimp, fish, do different things. You go over town, you find about everywhere they sell crabs, shrimp, or fish, but I don't fool none of it. I just...
We've got a pretty good location with the stuff.
Oh, yes, I've got a very good location right here, but I just don't want to handle all of it. If I could sell crabs out there, plenty of crabs out there, but I just don't do it. I figure if I can sell me 25 pounds of shrimp a day, I'm happy. Or 15, 20 pounds of peanuts. Otherwise, if you get too busy, all you're going to do is stay running busy all day long, just running, going hard, and I don't want that. If I got that, you got a hard people, and I don't want that. I'd rather keep it little and just make a little bit and make a whole big bunch. Oh, I could throw that on probably and really make it big, but I don't want that. Huh. Too old and would like to start that. I'll be 65 in March and I just don't want to go too hard at it, really.
Okay, well, I appreciate you spending the time here talking to me.
Well, I appreciate it. Anyway, I hope I helped you in some way. I don't know if I did or not, but I hope I did some way or not. I really, really do.
Yeah, I've been kind of interested in this.
It's something different. That's why I enjoy coming out here to shoot the bull with guys that I know and some of them I don't. I get to know a lot of them, but I don't know. I know their face, don't know their name, but I enjoy talking to all of them.
Yeah. This seems like fun.
Then I have somebody, I have friends come by in the afternoon. They sit around and shoot for a couple hours, shoot the breed, eat a peanut, talk about fishing. You know? Mm-hmm. I just enjoy getting as far as making money. No, it's, I don't care if I make it or don't make it. That, I always find out if you don't worry about making money, money will come to you. But if you stay nervous and trending on and hope I can and push it, you don't seem like you do good. If you do come out and relax, if it comes to you, it comes to you. If it don't, it don't. And go home at night, lay on sleep, and don't worry about it. Just take it as it comes.
I suppose you hear
something. That's the way my wife does it. I do good, all right. If I don't do it, still all right. Don't matter. I'm from Illinois. My wife is Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. What brought her down to Florida?
Her and her mother came down on vacation. I met her after I came out of World War II. Met her down here at the beach. I was living on board off of my parents. I met her. We rode a long time together, rode back and forth to each other, and then she came back down here with her sister. Huh. And we got mom went back up to New Jersey and got married. And the mother come back to go for 20, 25 years. Mother used to come out with me, man. She used to thank the world with me. They're from... They're right over on Jersey side, right on Jersey side there in Patterson. They're from Clifton. Mm-hmm. She got sisters live here, and she got sisters live up there. She got brothers live up there. Mm-hmm. We go up and see them down here, or they come down here. She's nothing but Italian. Uh-huh. She is, and very good lady, boy, all her life. We've been married soon to be 40 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, we was married 40 years in March.
Wow. What's the secret to happy marriage?
Just be dependable and reliable. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good to have one go for 40 years like that and be real happy with it.
I've been happy with mine the day I started married.
That's all right. Great.
Yep, I couldn't ask no better. She look after me all the time. I'm sick or what may ever be. If I got money and ain't got money, it's a good ride on the same way. She don't ever change. Uh-huh. And she never has asked for much in my life, and we never have either married. We raised up and put our children through college and all. We never asked for much.
So your children out of college by now?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a daughter that's over here at Blood Bank. She works at all the hospitals. She works there, but she makes good money. She works in the Blood Bank, but she runs machinery. No, more and more or less a supervisor or something like that over all the blood banks and all that there. Yeah, she works all the hospitals in town. Everywhere they need her, that's where she goes. Mm-hmm. She makes good money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I suppose you hear some pretty good fish stories through here.
Oh, every day. Them boys, the old fishermen come an old timer most of what come in here in the afternoon. You are here in the afternoon. Some of them born and raised right here on the river. They're 60, 70, and 80 years old. They fish 50, 60 years here in the river. Some of them, maybe their buddies together. They fish 60 years ago. And you already hear some of the old stories from way back. The way the type they had to fish and the road wouldn't work the way down here and they had to pay in it. And they had no cars going, they had boats going up down the river. You can get some of the stories, the best story you ever got in your life right here. I've learned many things from old men. I know I'm old, but I'm talking beyond me, that 75, 80 years old. That's born and raised right here and fished right here on the river.
Yeah.
Or they come in here.
Yeah.
They pull up chairs and eat peanuts, and they lie to each other, but they... but we do get a lot of them together. Yes, they do. I wish you could get in on Sunday afternoon sometime on some of them. Sometimes there's one or two of them. Sometimes there may be half a dozen of them. And they'll get them a Coca-Cola, and they'll start.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are... not a lot of them are not fishermen. A lot of them was... they run gill nets. Some of them run shrimp boats. Some of them... old fishermen. They're all different types of fishermen all their life. But they're some old-timers around, too. Yes, they are. And I remember when I was young, maybe your age, I used to go out there and fish with some of the old-timers. They was had fish camps, or they was fishermen back in that. And I remember fishing all night long beside them and all, but I was young, maybe your age, fishing. And that's why today they still come back in, because they know me, because we fish together. I used to do a lot of fishing. I did a lot of fishing all my life. Fish at night in there a lot of time with them and all. And they come out here, they come out and talk to you. Tell some stories. Try to remember this place and that place. Back the old times and all, what things used to be and what they are now today and now and what they were back at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them guys caught a lot of fish. Big fish and many of them. Get 10 cents a pound, nickel a pound for the fish back in them days.
Probably get about 10, 20 times the amount.
Today, they pay you $1.50 to $2 a pound for fish. Yeah, you commercial selling commercial.
Yeah.
So it's all different.
I'm surprised at how big the commercial fishing industry is here in Florida.
It's a big one. It is very big.
Yeah.
A lot, you'd be surprised if people make a living out of the ocean and out of the river here. A lot of people. I know most of all the old timers that make a living out of the river. I don't know them all, but I know a lot of them. And all who owns the fish camps up down, I know them personally. Know all them. Know their background, know their fishing, and I fish with them, and all that. But anymore, we don't fish much. We just bullshit more anymore. We do fish, yeah. Oh, yes, I know a lot of them.
Yeah. I'd like to find someone who knows how to make the crab traps. Would you have anybody there?
I know a guy named Pete Smith. He lives right across, go over across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they call it buffalo, not buffalo, but... trying to think of the name of the street. Damn if I can remember it now. But all you do, right, you go over Trout River Bridge, you come down, or you come right underneath the bridge and catch the first road there. The Trout River goes back right then. I'm trying to think of that seafood place around there. There's two restaurants right around. Jackie's Seafood Restaurant, he lived right straight across in front of it. Now, he's about my age, and he ain't done nothing but crab in that river. He lived in the river all his life.
Uh-huh.
And he don't do nothing but crab and shrimp. Mostly crab, though, and shrimp, and oysters. He did oyster when he was young. When he was about 18, 20, 21 year old, he used to work out of Nassau. Bring him into this fish camp down there. Bobby, I see him about starved to death. That old pickup truck, he ain't hardly made no money in life. He raised three or four boys and a kid, and he probably would talk to you. And he's an old-timer way back. He's about my age right now. And he made crab traps all his life and crab in the river. That's all he's done. That's all he knows, and that's all he's ever done.
Yeah, he sounds like a good person.
His name is Pete Smith.
Pete Smith, okay. Yeah.
Just tell him you come over and interview him, you go to school, and I'm pretty sure he'd take time out and work with you.
Okay.
Tell him, explain it to him, tell him all what you're doing. And I believe he can tell you a story probably better than I can tell you a lot. But he lived on the water.
Okay.
He ain't nothing but living on the water all his life.
Great.
He spent 8, 10, 10 hours a day, 12 hours, 7 days a week, cold, rain, shine. He's been more on water than he had on land, I believe.
Yeah.
He's a very good guy, too. He don't drink, and they don't. Your boys kind of drank a little bit and gave him a little trouble coming up. But for him, he first himself, he never drank in his life, never fooled. If you get over by the Seafood Center, you'll see a big old two-story house right on the corner. And if you get lost, right around there, Seafood Dad, just ask where Pete Smith lived, and they'll show you where they lived over there.
Oh, good.
And I believe he can tell you some history.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
He come by all the time on the weekend, going out picking up crab in New Berlin, bringing them back in. His boys crab for him, and he buys them.
Yeah.
He supplied all these like he's Pick and Save and all them, all he supplied all them with crabs and all that good stuff. He don't only eat food with shrimp, he did food with crabs. Shrimp and crab and all.
Do you know anybody who knits their own nets around you at all? Do you know anybody who knits their own nets around you that might want to talk to me?
Makes nets? Yeah, I know a man makes nets. I don't know where you could find him here or not. He got a telephone number out there. You go out Hector Drive, you know where the paper mill is out there? Or you'll see a sign on this side. And it says nets. You call him. He lives back over on Fayette Road now. He's out here on weekends. He sells nets, makes all kinds of nets. Every kind of net you think of, 10,000 foot long or 2,000 foot.
Okay.
Him and his son makes them. Marshall Watkins is his name.
Oh, okay.
And I got him started off. He couldn't make nets. I went and made him a mold to make sinkers. He'll tell you about it, too. If it wasn't me to get him started business, he wouldn't be in business today. He'll tell you all about it.
All right,
he knows in everything. He's been in that business maybe 20 years now, making every type of net there is. Any kind of net, gill net, seine net, or shrimp net, he makes them.
They use a lot of the webbing here, right? And then they cut
Sometimes he'll sew it all together. He'll buy the webbing, cut, put it together, and sometimes he wants the net, he'll go ahead and knit it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's
using the blocks and everything there. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'd like to get in touch with him.
His name is Marshall Watkins. Okay. And then he on the weekend, you see him out there at the flea market at off there at Dunn's Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Out there at Pecan Park Road.
Right up there by the airport?
Yeah. He sells there on weekend, named Marshall.
Okay. Oh,
just tell him you know Jim Goddard, and he'll work with you.
Okay, good.
Tell him I sent him to you, or tell Pete Smith I sent him to you, and they'll work with you.
Oh, great. This is a good people.
We know each other real good. Yes, we do. That's why I tell you now, these old timers, that Marshall I'll tell you about. He's born and raised right out there, born on the river, and he's a commercial fisherman. Makes net too, him and his boy, and Marshall raised on the river. And Marshall's about 70, 75 year old. And he never done nothing but that all his life. He don't know nothing. He drove a cab some during World War II. But otherwise than that, Marshall's been, he probably answered more questions than I could tell you.
I suppose they'd both be in the phone book, too.
Huh?
I would suppose both of them would be in the phone book that I could find the numbers out.
Yeah, Marshall Watkins, he's in the telephone book. Yeah, or either you pick it up out there on the Hector Drive, right in front of the center. You'll see where a sign says, right by the tree. You got it where it makes nets and all. That's your telephone number on there.
Okay,
I think he's in the telephone book, Marshall Watkins.
Okay. I believe I even saw that when I was going past it.
Yeah, well, the telephone number out there where he said, he used to sell on the road, but he used to sit there on the road do it all the time, but now he's over there at Pecan. He does better, more people coming by.
Okay.
I think he does better there.
All right.
He tried to get me to come out there while I was out. Nah, I don't want to be with it. But I have a lot of fun talking to them guys when they get time to sit down and talk to old Marshall. Marshall's great. He can tell you a many stories. He can start in the morning and tell you a story that lasts out on for a week. Them's the kind of guy you want to get a hold of.
Yeah, they're just fun.
Because they know it. They know it. Because that's all they've did all their life. They know it. Know a lot more about it than I do because they live. I've never been on the water much as they have. I fished. But they commercial fish, and they know more about it than I do, I guarantee you.
Right, well,
I know a little bit, but not a whole bunch.
Oh, well, you did pretty well. I was real interested in the roadside approach.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.